Okay, welcome back to How Relationships Grow. No, I did that on the blog too. This is not How Relationships Grow. If you signed up for How Relationships Grow, you're in the wrong place because this is how relationships work. Those two are very close though. But anyway, this is How Relationships Work, semester two. And I'm going to give you just a short review about what we did the first half. What we did is I advertised a study on relationships. And I talked about your relationship with God for like 9 weeks. And I kind of felt guilty about that, but actually I'm sort of going to do it again tonight. And the reason for that is several things and that we'll talk about. But, you know, God is a relational being, and we're made in his image. And I can't do crooked. I'm just going to scoot back. Okay? And so if we're made in his image and he's a relational being, and if he's perfect, and if he's got perfect love, then think about it. If we relate to him and learn relating from him, then we get really good at relating too. And I started this whole series when I was praying this summer about what, Lord, would you have me to teach this year? And I had some relational struggles in my life. And isn't it true that really most of our stirrups in life are around people? And so this verse came to my attention, and I thought, that's what I want to do. And it's Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 from the Message. And it says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. So that's what I'm signed up to do this year, y'all, is to learn to love like that. And I think that's going to be a lifetime journey, but we can really focus on it this year. And so what we did, just by way of review, I've got just a few points to make to just kind of, because we need to keep what we've learned in perspective. They're pretty basic principles. The design of the human being, our inner being, looks like the Target logo. You've got that circle in the middle, you've got that ring around it, and then you've got the larger ring around it. The outside one is your body. The middle ring is your soul, which is composed of your mind and your will and your emotions, and then that inner circle is your human spirit, and I'm putting a little line under there to designate. That's not the Holy Spirit, that's your human spirit. And I didn't know forever that we had a spirit. But that spirit is the place where we do connect with the Holy Spirit. It's the place where God, who is spirit, tells us in John 4, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, that's the place we do that. So when we do have spiritual growth, guess what? This part of us is expanding. And so, but what we learned, how we learned life was this. Before we came into Christ, we were just little people walking around in the world without the Holy Spirit living inside of us. What we did was we operated out of this center ring, the mind and the will and the emotions, and all the impact of life, we live from the outside in. So when your circumstances or your people or your environment or your culture or whatever happened, most of us learn to just react based on what we were thinking, using our mind, based on what we were feeling, using our emotions. Then we would make a choice with our will based on kind of what everybody else was doing or what our mama taught us or what the Sunday school teacher taught us or whatever. Which some of that was good, but it's not really the divine design that God created us for. And so that's why Jesus came, is to come and live inside our spirit so that we could connect spirit to spirit with him and to reverse the direction of our lives to this. And you can see I drew this earlier today and I didn't erase it very well. But we have the Holy Spirit flowing into our human spirit, and it's those rivers of living water that Jesus talks about, and it's full of the fruits of the Spirit. So because because Jesus lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, we really can love like God loves. We can't, but the Holy Spirit can do it through us as we give him more and more room and as we depend on him to do it. So that's kind of just a little background of Spirit-filled living and Spirit-to-Spirit connecting. I mean, see, this would be like, this one would be Adam and Eve in the garden. There was no hindrance, no bumps, no outside influence. It was just God and man, and they were connected spirit to spirit, you know, just great, perfect. And so ours is not going to be quite that perfect. We're going to have some static on the line, aren't we? But the more we grow, the more that we get restored to this picture. And we said there's a process as we make progress. You know, like, so positionally in Christ, we are perfect. It tells us in Hebrews, I believe the reference for that is Hebrews 10:14. It says, those whom he made perfect, he is sanctifying. And it's that sanctifying work that he's doing to kind of take some of these bumps out. Okay? And the form is a process, the sanctification process. And we said growth, and really we're kind of hoping that growth is going to mean this part. Our spirit, we have spiritual growth, get it? You know, so it'll take some territory away from our soul. So growth equals grace plus truth plus time. And so grace, we know what grace is. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that it is by grace that you have been saved by faith and not of yourself, not of works. So what that means to me, the reason I bring that verse up is what that means is God loves me and wants to connect to me and have a relationship with me, not because I get it right, not because of my behavior, not because I do more good than bad. He is a relational being that does it as a free gift. I'm his child now. I have that inheritance as his child, and I have that. That's grace. It's free. Okay, so that's grace. Truth is the word of God. So I'm going to put the cross here. I'm going to put the Bible here. And then this is time, the last one. Grace plus truth plus time. That's how you get growth. And this is the part that nobody likes. This is the second T right here, is the time part. Because it is a process, and it never goes as fast as you want it to, and it's never over as quickly as you want it to, is it? And, you know, I think for me, so much of my takeaway from studying just my personal relationship with God this last few months is the thing of patience, because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. I really can be patient in that growth process because I've got the Spirit of God living in me, and he's patient. So, but we talked a little bit about getting real in our relationship with God in this regard. That is, you know, we have a love or a hate relationship with the people closest to us. I mean, who can you get the maddest at? The people closest to you. Who can you have the most hurtful disconnections from? The people closest to you. So hopefully as we grow in intimacy with God and we grow closer to him, we want to have the honesty to say, God, I'm kind of mad at you right now. That doesn't mean he's done anything wrong because he's perfect, but what it is it's a relationship. So if we just pretend like it's okay and we're really disappointed in the way he let things go, then we're really not going to grow in intimacy with God, are we? So we want to learn. We did that little exercise, and I really don't have room for it, but I'll just make room for it because we're done with that. And it's a tool that's just a real simple tool. It's I feel, but God says. And you can just learn to journal those feelings out. I'm really feeling angry right now. I'm really feeling left out. I'm really feeling alone. I'm really feeling whatever it may be. But God, even though I'm feeling alone, I find a place in his word. That's that truth factor, that first T, that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, Jesus said. Very last thing he said. So I process with the Lord. I let the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth, I stay there and I'm patient with that process until it actually starts to transform my mind my mind does actually get renewed. I don't want to just slap it on there and say, okay, well, I've got something on my paper now. Check. Okay. I've processed that. I mean, I've done that. It's not very effective. You know, I mean, it is the truth. But we want it to impact every part of our being. And I believe it reaches our spirit when we've really let it, you know, impact. So that's a little bit about, you know, just some authenticity in our relationship with the Lord. And I sent out the little blog that took, y'all, honestly, that wasn't much of a blog piece, but it was really just kind of an excuse to remind everybody to come today. But the verse I put in there is the one that's just, I think, oh, thank you so much for putting that in the Bible. And it's Luke 17:1 that says, it is impossible for offenses not to come. No truer words have ever been spoken. Think about it. Why is that? Because we are imperfect people, and we live in a broken world full of broken people, and they're going to hurt our feelings, and they're going to offend us, and they're going to do it too slow or too fast or not the way we want it done, and it's just an opportunity for us to stumble. So that's so helpful, and we will spend, I promise you, some time, and probably more than two, at least 2 weeks, looking at the, digging into the scriptures and looking at how we can practically, biblically address conflict. And doing it in a way that's a wise, thus saith the Lord way. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. Tonight, I want to talk, though, about really having that firm foundation from whence to do that. And that's why I call the lesson a secure foundation. Because really, if you think about it, to the degree that we're secure individuals is the degree that we can be strong in loving people. If I'm looking to you to get my security, I'm not going to be able to love you very well, because then it's all about me, right? So we want to have that. We want to have security that's not based on whether you like me or not, or whether you like how I'm doing it or not. And I want to tell you a little bit about just a little bit of my history. Some of y'all have known me longer than others, but when I was a young mom, I was a working girl. I loved my job. And the Lord challenged me as a young mother. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I just knew it was that thing. It was just unmistakable, because I knew it wasn't me. It's not something I wanted. But I knew the Lord was calling me to stay home with my children and leave my career behind. And this was the place where I really learned to build a trust relationship with God. I mean, I had loved God all of my life. I loved God. I didn't behave like I loved him for a lot of the time, but I did love him. I loved his word. But this was a biggie. I mean, this was really going to be a big, big, big life-changing step of faith for me. And so it took me, I'm pretty quick processor normally, but I knew that I needed to know, you know, to do this. So it took me almost a year to walk through this process with the Lord. And I said, God, you're just going to have to make it really clear. I really learned about my prayer life during that time. I really learned about going to God and his word and seeking out, you know, what he had to say about various topics in his word. And y'all, I just said, God, you're going to have to make it clear. Y'all, it is crazy how many different ways people he would put in my path. Something, I would turn on the radio and there would be Charles Stanley talking about a mother and her role in the home. I mean, every time I turn around, there's some woman that was on the board at one of the giant corporations in Birmingham who made probably 50 times more money than I did, and who had way more prestige than I ever thought about having, who just made that decision, and we ended up sitting next to each other at some event, and I'm going, white flag, I'm waving the white flag. I hear you, God. Okay. You know, so it was really neat that I really did learn that my security, I found trusting God really is security. I mean, that I learned, he's safe, he's trustworthy, he's safe. His character is unchanging. That he, it says in Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. So if he is unchanging, and the Bible says he loves me perfectly, wow, that's something, that's a secure, blessed assurance right there. And so I made this huge step of faith. I stepped out there. I got home. I looked around, and what I realized was I was pretty much in, other than my relationship with the Lord, I was in relational wasteland. I had a few friends that I'd kept up with from college. A lot of them were off in other places. My high school friends I had let dwindle. You know, almost everybody that I was in contact with was a career related thing, other than my, you know, immediate family. So I started praying and I said, Lord, you know, I need some friends. I need some, like, people, girlfriends, you know. And God graciously started bringing people into my life. And it was the coolest thing because he called me out of the working world. He gave me that hunger and thirst for some relating that was this glory kind of relating. And he put that prayer on my lips, and I just love how God does, because what he does, he kind of gives you those desires so that he can give you the desires of your heart. You know, like he lets that hunger and thirst start getting gnawing inside of you, and then he answers the prayer. It's just the coolest thing to walk with the Lord. And so he right at that same time when all this was happening, he just dropped me in the middle of, I'd never heard of discipleship before. But there's a man named John Riddle that is one of the original staff members of our church that had all this relationship material about your relationship with God, your relationship with people. And he had like this whole house that you build that's based on the Word of God. And y'all, the principles that I learned in there are the same ones that I mean, they're just the basics of relating. And so God started teaching me some new ways of relating, which I will tell you, I still have got a huge amount of room to grow. But they were just some good basics, and we'll be talking about some of those. So that my first, for those who like an outline, and I think this is on your paper, relational security is that first point. And I think I did a pretty decent job tonight of putting, I hope I won't veer from the paper too much, but I've got most of the text that I'll be sharing tonight on there. So I guess what I'm telling you is that the Lord gave me a secure foundation in him as a springboard for my other, as I stepped into these new friendships that he was bringing into my life, as I stepped into this new role as a, you know, full-time mom and everything. And one of the, I love this verse from Psalm 118, verse 8, and the voice is what TV stands for. The voice translation said it beautifully. It says, it is better to put your faith in the eternal, that's God, it's better to put your faith in God for your security than to trust in people. And why is that, y'all? Well, I've kind of already said that, because he is unchanging. His love never fails. He never gives up on you. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If I will just agree with him when I blow it, he forgives me every single time. This is a great relationship to make your main foundation. And when I'm struggling with my people and they're not happy with me, even if I'm in the wrong, I can still go back to someone who loves me, will speak truth into my life, and that accepts me right where I am. It's going to help me get to a better place. Let me just mention some reasons. I have four reasons as I thought about this, for placing our security in God that are going to enhance our relationship. Because, okay, first of all, it provides us with a template for good relating. And it allows me to see myself more clearly. If I see my identity as a flawed, forgiven, favored child of God, that's the truth. That's what God says. And so if I base my self-view, even in spite of the fact that I've blown it, on that, that's a good thing. That's a secure place. And it also helps me know where I'm headed. I'm headed, his plan for me, his purpose is Romans 8:29, which is not on the paper, but y'all know that one. That he works all things together for good, even my mistakes, to make me in the image of his son, Jesus. So that's where I'm heading. Okay, the second reason is it allows me to see other people with new eyes. Okay, so if I'm going to stand on the rock of my relationship with the Lord, and what he's extended to me is grace and truth and patience, that time factor, then that frees me up to give that away to somebody else. But I can't give away what I haven't received. And the verse that goes with that is Matthew 10:8. Freely you've received, freely you give. But the converse of that is also true, isn't it? You can't give away what you haven't received. So that's the second reason. The third reason is it makes me see my future differently, relationally. And I know what I found in my own life early on is getting in these relational patterns. And just, it would be my rut that I would go to. It would be my default that I would go to. And I would just think, well, that's just the way I am. I mean, I'm just a people pleaser, or I'm just a, you know, whatever. And the truth is, though, because of these pictures we drew, yeah, I may be a people pleaser. I may have learned that really strong in my life. But because of Jesus, I have hope of him making that different. You know, it's not on me. It's the power of him inside of me that can help me grow into a God pleaser instead. And then the other part of that that's about seeing my future differently is this. When I'm in a difficult relationship and it's tempting to just say, it is too painful to think about hoping that that'll ever be better. I'm not going to hope for that to be better. That's too hard. I'm just going to accept the way it is. I mean, there's wisdom and acceptance for sure. And the Bible tells us to accept one another. But it also tells us that he gives us hope and that springs up new every day. And so that's the reason I want to base my, you know, there's plenty of people I would have given up. Me first on the list. But God has encouraged me as I've listened to him. Don't do that. There's always hope. And then the last reason is that as I come into the presence of God and I get that grace, with all my stupidity and ignorance and sin and brokenness and all that, and I get grace, I get forgiveness, I get mercy, wow, that gives me courage. If I'm so totally accepted, if I'm so totally loved by him, that gives me the courage to then show you my brokenness and know that you may reject me, but I'm at least giving you the real thing when I do that. And then that I have a real relationship at the end of that if you do decide to stick around. If I don't have that security found in the Lord, founded in him, I'm going to be way less likely to show you the real me, the warts and all that stuff. So anyway, so those are some reasons. The second little thing I want to tell y'all, and this is all on your paper so you don't have to scurry to write this down, are the relational building blocks. I want to talk about three concepts that we'll really be using a lot, and I kind of want this to be, you don't have to, I mean, it's going to be on your paper. You can actually do some written homework if you want to, but just try these on this week. Spend some time just kind of letting them be sort of like a thing for you to do some self-examination and to check your heart for what you're kind of wanting and what you're willing to do. The first one is unity. And I think we all know what that one means. But I love the definition I love the best is when I went to look up in Strong's, which is the original language for the scriptures resource, I looked up this verse, Colossians 3:14, that's on your paper. It says, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So that's right, see, that is already, don't you feel better? It's already provided for us. It's right there in that package we get from the Holy Spirit, his bundle of fruit. And that's what that means. That word unity means that which is bound together, a bundle. So I love that. That's like we're in us, that unity that we all want. And that was the prayer of Jesus in the garden before he went to the cross. And that, I like the way the message said, John 17:22-23, it says, the same glory, that's back to that word we talked about before we sang, the same glory that you gave me, I gave them, so that they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and love them in the same way you've loved me. Okay, so listen to that. Did y'all catch that? That's kind of me, but let's talk about that for a second. So he's saying the same glory, that's that original glory, back to this divine design, the glory one, And the same glory that Jesus had, he's given to us, and the same unity that the Trinity experiences. Y'all, that's perfect. He's offering that to us. That's an option for us. And the way we tap into it is I in them. So it's an opportunity for us to just take advantage of. And we can just say, Jesus, you know that prayer you prayed, that we would be one just like you and the Father and the Holy Spirit were one? We're needing some of that at my house right now. And I know this is your will because you prayed it, and the Holy Spirit has it recorded right here in John 17. So that's, I really love that one. The second one is intimacy. And intimacy, I will paraphrase that by saying to be known and understood, and to know and understand the other person. Here's what I'm going to say about intimacy, and really true about all of these. I think if you look at most people, and I'm going to include myself in that lump, is that we all say we want intimacy, but sometimes we don't want to do the work that it takes to be intimate. Because, y'all, it's messy. And it's fairly demanding. So but our hearts were made for intimacy. I mean, that's what we were designed for. We long for that. And that's directly linked to the next building block, and that's vulnerability. And vulnerability is to be, you know, to be open-hearted, to be wholehearted, to make yourself, like I said before, you know, is that I would dare to open my heart to you and let you see the real me. That's vulnerability. And I want to share this quote. Y'all have probably seen this TED Talk. Have you seen the one by Brené Brown on the power of vulnerability? Have y'all seen it? When I looked it up to capture this quote, her definition of vulnerability, 18 million people had seen it. I think they've used this a lot in corporate America. It's outstanding. I don't know how long it is. It's probably about 15 minutes, but I would highly recommend it. But let me just share with you, and I love, it's on your paper, it says, when she was getting down to kind of defining vulnerability, I've just grabbed part of what she said. What she said was to let ourselves be seen, deeply seen, to love with our whole hearts, even though there's no guarantee, to practice gratitude and joy in those moments of terror when we're wondering, can I love this much? Can I believe in this passionately? To be able to stop and instead of catastrophizing what might happen, to say, I'm just so grateful, because to feel this vulnerable means I'm alive. And the last, which I think is probably the most important, is to believe that we're enough. I think that's an amazing thing to ponder, and I think that's worthy of some more of our thoughts. So let's take some of these things we've talked about, and I want to use some illustrations. I think Jesus didn't he not do anything without a story, it said, or a parable? So I always like to tell stories because I think it brings it home. So relational glory. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. And I want to use that passage from Exodus 33 that I have on your paper. Moses was a man who had trust in God. His relational security was in his relationship with God. And how do we know this? We know this because, first of all, he obeyed his call to take however many million of these Israelites out into the desert. And second of all, that he was still praying after his brother that he left in charge, and he went to the mountain for 40 days with no food, seeking God on behalf of these people, getting the Ten Commandments, coming back down so excited that God has actually carved with his finger on these two stone tablets, and then he finds Aaron, his brother, and all his people having an orgy and worshiping a golden calf. Okay, so that is the context of this story, okay? So you see that this is what he does. Very next chapter, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Now, y'all, let me take a parenthesis here. Later in this chapter, he says, no man can see me face to face. This is, I don't know if it's a metaphor, but it's face to face means that vulnerable thing we're talking about. It's not like he saw God in the flesh. But he met with him in an intimate I know you, you know me kind of way. That's what face-to-face means here. So the Lord would speak to Moses face-to-face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Okay, now I'm going to pause again because this is my on my vision statement for this year. I want to be like Joshua. I don't want to leave the presence of God. No, we don't have to. I mean, we never really do. But wouldn't it be great if you just went out throughout your day, all day, every day, just aware that God's right here. He's just right here. I mean, he's in me. I have the mind of Christ. I have the Spirit of God. Jesus is right. I live under an open heaven. I can go boldly into his presence any second. I mean, let's be Joshua's. And so here goes Moses. Moses said to the Lord in verse 12, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." I thought that was kind of cute. But he was saying, you see all these crazy orgy and people down here? These are yours, God. You know, I'm not adding them. But you see him doing what we talked about a few minutes ago, that he's reminding God of who he is. God, you said, I'm reminding you of who you said I was. You said I'm favored. You said I'm the leader. You know, all these things that you've called me, I'm reminding myself and I'm reminding you. So that's a perfect example of getting in unity with God, because you're getting in unity and agreement with what he's saying. So continuing on, verse 14, "The Lord replied to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. And then Moses said, now, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you." Now think about how vulnerable that was. I mean, that is a pretty big thing. I mean, to me, that's a really, really big request to say, okay, God, so you've said you're pleased with me, you've said that I'm the one you've chosen, you've said, now you've said you're going to go with me, show me your glory. And what I have heard that sort of paraphrased to mean is, when we experience what's true of God, what he's saying is, God, will you show up? Will you show up? And God kind of get one-ups him. I mean, he says, I'm going to let my goodness pass before you. That's what his glory is we see the goodness of God in our circumstances. He sees the goodness of God, even though he's got these people that have gone berserko and have forgotten anything they ever were taught. But he goes on time after time after time, those 40 years, in spite of all the, I mean, bickering, jealousy, stealing. I mean, all you've read the stories, 40 years of that, and he sees God's goodness again and again and again and again. So that is what I believe glory is. And then this is, to me, what security looks like, is right here in verse 21. "Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand upon a rock." So to me, that in a phrase is a verse that says, what does it mean to be secure in relationship? Verse 21, right there. It's being right there near God, being intimate with him, meeting with him face to face like Moses did, being at one with his purposes. Lord, show me your way. Show me. And that vulnerability that he showed. Okay, I want to just kind of end this part with a short testimony that I think will kind of illustrate from my own life. And to me, that's, you know, we've got a biblical story and now we've got a current day story. And recently I had a disconnection. I mean, like, this is a relationship, it would be this way. It would be a horizontal relationship, a person-to-person relationship. But this is me and this is them. We connect spirit to spirit. It's a close friend of mine and we disconnected. And y'all, it was so painful. Ugh. I'm really not sure it was really anybody's fault. It's just one of those things that happens. It's impossible for offenses not to come things. And this was really kind of, I think, more of a case of hurt feelings and offenses, but I think whatever you want to call it. So But anyway, I noticed that that was just so hard. I reached out to reestablish connection by email one day, and it took this friend 48 hours to answer me back. And y'all, in that 48 hours, while I'm thinking, well, I put myself out there, you know, can we get together and talk? I really love you. I don't like anything being between us. Can we get together? Nothing. And I was just like, I was sick of my stomach. I was so distracted for 2 solid days. I went to the drugstore to fill a prescription, and I was like, y'all need to send me home. I'm not even here. I'm someplace else, you know. So anyway, eventually, and the Lord though did remind me, I just kept praying. And the Lord, this is how this lesson got written. The Lord said, and where is your security? Is it in the opinion of another person? I want the answer to be no, Lord. But, you know, I could tell that it was shaking me, you know. And so he then reminded me about patience, and I thought, okay, I'm maybe a faster processor. I need to be patient to let this process for the other party. So I'm trusting you, Lord. Thank you that you said that the Holy Spirit will give me the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. And he also reminded me that when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about biblical agape love. The first characteristic of love is what? Patience. So I thought, okay. Thankfully, it was just 48 hours. So my friend did contact me back, and we decided to meet. But meanwhile, you know, I'm going to my tent of meeting, and as I was praying and just asking for God's wisdom, asking for God's comfort, asking God to show me my part, asking God to give me a heart of forgiveness and mercy, you know, just to reveal anything I needed to say. I mean, I just needed wisdom. I really wasn't sure what happened. And I was just closing my eyes, and I was just, you know, kind of doing what I do a lot of times when I go to my tent of meeting. Sometimes I'll just put on some soaking music. It's worshipful, but doesn't have a lot of words. It just helps me to just quiet my mind down and just get still, be still and know that I'm God, kind of a thing. So I was doing that. I got down in child's pose, and I was listening to my music in my tent of meeting, and I was just listening. And this thought came to my mind. It was a memory. It was a true event.
What meeting were you saying?
Tent of meeting, like Moses.
Uh-huh.
I'll go to my tent of meeting. I don't have a tent, but it's our meeting place, you know. Moses had a you know what? He went to the tent. He met
us. They were meeting tenant, like that Bones Brooklyn Hospital.
No. Thank you for asking. No. I went to connect with God in my prayer closet. How about that? So I'm in my little prayer closet. I'm trying to be still and know that He is God. And God brought this memory to my mind. And this really happened when I was 3 years old. I had gotten for my birthday. I had a summer birthday. And I could still see myself. I had on that little sunsuit, those ones that had the little strings right here that you tie. I had that little outfit on. And I had gotten one of those folding chairs that has that webbing, you know, that crisscross webbing. And it has those little arms that kind of go like that, that are made out of aluminum. They almost look like little claws. And then you could fold them up. Okay, I had gotten one of those. And I had this bright idea to go from either the backyard to the front yard or the front yard to the backyard. And when I had done it, I had walked past my dad's white Oldsmobile. And when I did, those little claws just went, and made this big, long, jagged scrape on the side of my dad's car. And he got really angry. And I, you know, all I remember about that event is this, is that I never remembered feeling disconnected from him before. And he and I were very, very, you know, had that spirit-to-spirit kind of connection. I felt completely safe with him. But when he was angry, y'all, I was not safe. I was not secure. I was scared. I was really, really scared. I just remember that being a real vivid memory for me. And as I was sitting there thinking about that, then all of a sudden it made me think about today, because I drive a white car in today, right now, tonight, I drive a white car, and my daughter scraped one side of my car, and then I scraped the other side. And I've been trying to get to the car shop. It's way more involved, and I will not take the time to tell you how involved it is to get your car painted. But anyway, I haven't gotten there yet. And so I've been driving around with not one but 2 scrapes down the side of my car. And so it was kind of like the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you feeling right now? And I thought, shame. I am embarrassed that I am driving this ghetto car, you know. It is. And then the Lord said, and it's the same thing you were feeling about the other thing, too. And I thought, of course, it's that thing that Miss Brown was talking about in her TED Talk, is that in every one of those situations, in my disconnect with my friend, in my disconnect with my dad, and something that you can kind of identify on the surface is a car, all of that is that I'm showing you my real scarred, broken, not perfect me. That's me that's driving. Who's driving that car with the scrapes all over it? That would be me. Do you still like me? You know, kind of thing. And what is so tempting to do is just to bulldoze my way into the car place to get in front of everybody and get it painted over. I mean, really, what about just getting a white paint pen and just filling it in? Anything so that I don't have to feel that feeling of being seen and exposed, you know? And so I think I just want to say that's vulnerability, to be able to get in touch with, I want to be close, I want to be known, but I want to be safe to show you the real me. And when you see the real me, sometimes you're going to see some scars and you're going to see some imperfect things. And, you know, I hope you'll give me grace, but maybe you won't. You know, that's that vulnerability. And that's beautiful unity, though, and intimacy when you can find a few safe people and relate like that. Y'all, that's beautiful. That's glory. That's redemption, and that's glory, is it when you can relate like that. So anyway, that's my illustration of of having a secure foundation and some building blocks that I want us to think about. I want to close with this verse, and I think it just says it so beautifully what I've been trying to communicate to you and what I think Moses showed us through his life. And the verse is Proverbs 1:33, and I've used the Good News Translation, and it says it this way. It says, whoever listens to me will have security. He will be safe with no reason to be afraid. All right, let me close us in prayer, and then we can write our one thing. Father, thank you so much that you never change, that you are always the same, that you never give up on us, that your love never fails, that you are a God of grace, you're a God of mercy, you're a God of redemption. Thank you that we really, really, really are safe with you. Lord, I pray that we would learn to be vulnerable with you first. God, that we would be able to say with you, God, I'm feeling disappointed. I'm feeling like you said you were going to give me a future and a hope, and I don't feel very hopeful right now. That we'd be able to talk with you face to face like Moses did, that we'd be really honest with you, and that we would then be still and listen to you like Moses did, and that we could hear, you are favored. I will go with you. I will give you rest and peace in this situation. And that, Lord, we would see your glory, that we would see what that means, is that you are a good, loving God, and you're going to show up when we invite you in. So, Lord, I pray that for each one of these women and everyone who's listening online, Father, that we would take the risk and be vulnerable enough to ask you to see your glory, God. I just pray that every day this week you'd remind us, hey, ask me to see my goodness today, Father. And I do pray that for every one of us for every day this week, that, Lord, that you would bless our eyes and bless our ears, and that you would bless our hearts to receive it as a whisper of love from you, and that we would, that when you do show us your goodness, we would say, ah, that's it, he just did it, he's being good to me again. And Father, that would just birth such gratitude in us, that we would bubble up with joy and thanksgiving, and just that same love that you've loved us with, that you freely give us, we freely receive it, and then we can freely give it away. So Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to cooperate with you in that process, and I pray you'd encourage us in that process. And I just love you, Lord, and we just ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.